Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying, multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, last year I was finally pregnant, and now I am finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Finally Pregnant podcast. I am really lucky to be in the position where I had an interview with Kate Marsh, who is the midwifery manager for Tommy's, in the diary already. And given everything that's going on at the moment, it is more important now, possibly than ever, for us to have this conversation and to get it out to you as quickly as possible, because I know that so many of you are understandably really, really concerned about coronavirus and the effect it's having on you individually as a pregnant woman, the effects it's having on you with regards to not being able to attend antenatal classes or things like pregnancy yoga, things that you finally are able to do, but because of everything that's going on, you're being robbed of that and that opportunity, which is just devastating. So what I'm going to try and do with today's conversation, and Kate is amazingly here to help me with this, is to get you as much information and some ideas to help you through this time, just as much as possible, really. Hi there, Kate. Thank you so much for joining me. I wonder if you could just introduce yourself and what the Tommy's midwives do.
Of course. So thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to be on your podcast. So yeah, my name is Kate and I'm the midwifery manager at Tommy's. So for those of you who may not have heard of Tommy's, it's a charity that primarily funds research into our research centres around the UK to reduce miscarriage, stillbirth and premature birth. And part of that and part of what I do in my role at the charity is support, but also the promotion of a healthy pregnancy. So getting the evidence-based information out to everybody who is pregnant or is affected by pregnancy in any way at all, so you're getting the best information possible. As a team of midwives, so there's a team of us at Tommy's, there's five of us midwives, and we are there. You can contact us Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. We are still around at the moment. We are working from home now, so it's via email, and our email address is midwife@tommys.org. And we're here just to really support with any pregnancy-related questions, any support when it comes to pregnancy loss, you know, any question at all. And believe me, we do get them, so please don't worry about that at all. But we are still running at the moment and we are answering as many questions as possible because we recognise it is a time of anxiety at the moment, particularly more so than usual. So we're here to support you.
That's amazing, because at the moment what we're finding is that people's midwife appointments are being cancelled, aren't they? I think some of them, much the same with antenatal class and things, some of them are being moved online, which is, you know, some form of solution. But if you can't actually get hold of your midwife, or, you know, they can't do the calls online, or they're not available by phone because they're ill themselves, that's a really difficult time. So to have your service and for people to know that is fantastic. So thank you so, so much. We're going to talk about three main things today. And the first one is, you know, the obvious one, coronavirus. So it's out there. We know this. We know that the Royal College of Obstetrics and Gynecology are releasing up-to-date guidelines as often as possible. But for those who just want to hear it, because, you know, sometimes reading it is one thing, but people who aren't sure, and we do know that it changes every day, and I'm going to get this podcast out as quickly as possible, so this is going to be as current as possible, but I highly recommend everyone sign up, you know, or check the website as often as possible, and I will put all of the links that we talk about, all of the email addresses, I'll put in the show notes. But if you could give us, you know, what the current information is, Kate, and just so that everyone knows, we are recording this on Friday the 20th of March at 1:45.
And absolutely, and you know, being so precise is important, because information is changing all the time. So just to be clear, this is, you know, the information that we have right now. I think the biggest change that has happened this week is for pregnant women, is that pregnant women have been sort of categorized as part of the vulnerable at-risk group. And I think that's provoked even, you know, heightened anxiety for a lot of pregnant women, because they're saying, you know, what does that even mean? So I think it's really important to be clear about that at the moment, is that this is largely precautionary. So it's just being on the safe side, which we want everyone to do, you know, particularly during this time and in pregnancy, but it's being on the safe side. Pregnant women are not thought to be any more likely to get coronavirus, but pregnant women generally are more likely to get infections. So that's where this sort of precautionary advice comes from. The other thing is about sort of self-isolation and social distancing. Sort of, what does that mean? Can I go out? Can I see my mum on Mother's Day? Or, you know, what does this even mean? If you're kind of looking at the guidance, it is to, where possible, reduce social contacts. That's reducing the amount of contact that you have with other people. So most people are spending more time inside and indoors at their home. However, it doesn't mean that you cannot go out at all, because we need to also think about getting some exercise, thinking about your emotional and your mental well-being. For some people, being inside for long periods of time, particularly if you're on your own or you don't have, you know, if there's no one else in the household, then that can be a really, really difficult time. So you can go out, but it's to open spaces. So you know, whether you've got a garden or whether you live somewhere where you can just walk outside, then you can still do that, but just in open spaces. And I know the National Trust this week announced that they've opened up all their spaces for free. So have a little Google and see where the closest one is for you, and just take advantage of it, because there's loads of amazing places out there.
I am going to the National Trust near me every morning, you know, because if it does come to this time where we are kind of locked down into our houses, which seems ridiculous. So, you know, and I live in a tiny village in the countryside, but we've just heard on the news that California, and there's 40 million people in California, have been locked down. So we just don't know what might happen. But I've been going every morning for an hour and a half for a walk. And even at the National Trust properties, you know, they are, things are changing there. It's amazing, like you said, that they're opening them. But this morning I was there and they're actually making all of their, like the garden path that I walk around, and I was doing huge figure of eights and I get there early, so it's quite quiet. But they're making it a one-way system to try and, you know, even further to try and reduce kind of contact between people. So, you know, like people are going to amazing measures, and it is incredible that the National Trust have opened their gardens. Yeah, huge credit to them. But sorry, carry on, Kate.
No, that's great, you know, information. And, you know, it is important to get out and about. And I think, you know, the other, a lot of questions that we're getting at the moment is about seeing friends and family and that kind of just that social contact, really. So the guidance obviously is to be reducing that. So we're just encouraging and thinking of other ways that you can communicate, whether it's video calling, over the phone. I know there's apps. I've heard about House Party. I haven't used it myself, but, you know, there are apps as well that are supporting with this. So I think it's really important to think about what's going to help you during this time and how you can communicate with your social network as well. Obviously, if you do know anybody that does have symptoms, so that is a high temperature or an ongoing persistent cough, then it's extra important just to not have contact with that person until their symptoms are well and truly over. And if you are living with someone with those symptoms, then you thinking about where you can go. Is there a friend that you can stay at? Is there a family member that you can stay at for at least 14 days, which I know can be really tricky, but it's just trying to be as safe as possible to avoid catching the virus. But we said, you know, it is important to be aware that if you did catch coronavirus, at the moment, you know, it is a new virus. So I can only give the evidence that, and the research that we have at the moment. But there is no evidence that it does increase the risk of pregnancy loss or miscarriage. And, you know, if you do get a temperature, then you can manage that by paracetamol as per the instructions on the packet. So do manage the temperature and drink lots of fluids as well. But yeah, no increase in risk of miscarriage that we know about at the moment. It's not thought to transfer to the baby. So you might hear sort of vertical transmission is what it's called, but that's basically the virus getting in, to the baby. So it's not thought to do that as we know at the moment. So it's really about looking after yourself during this time. And, you know, as I said, managing your temperature and drinking plenty of fluids. If your symptoms do get worse, then it is important to ring NHS 111 or to get hold of your midwife or your triage line at your maternity unit. I understand it's really, really difficult at the moment. And some people are having problems doing that, but I would say please keep going, check all your avenues, ring your GP. I'm sure that they will have a recording on their phone at the moment advising as to what's best to do, because different areas will have different policies as to how they're managing this. And that's the same to go with your local maternity unit as well. I think you mentioned about sort of possible cancellation of routine appointments and things, and everywhere's managing that slightly differently. So it might be that they're done over the phone. Some might be doing some FaceTime on their phones or video calling. So every sort of midwifery service is managing it slightly differently. So I can't go into details exactly what to expect, but, you know, your hospital should be in contact with you as to how they're managing it. They are, they do seem to be maintaining scan appointments. So your routine sort of 12, your first trimester scan, your dating scan and your anomaly scan, they do seem to be going ahead as normal. And then any other scans that you might be having in pregnancy that's relevant to you. So appointments are going ahead, you know, do try and speak to your midwife as to what the contingency plan is at the moment.
I thank you so much for all of that, Kate. I totally do not want to contradict you here at all. But like you say, depending on where you are, it's really different. One of my friends from Instagram, who is in the early stages of her pregnancy, she messaged me earlier on and said that her early scans had been cancelled. Now, I don't know whether that's from the fertility clinic or the EPU or, you know, kind of the maternity kind of centre. But it is the case that some early pregnancy scans are being cancelled, which is just devastating. You know, we kind of almost joke about scanxiety, but when they're taken away, that the increased anxiety is just going to be exceptional. So, Kate, maybe we can touch upon anxiety and the fact that it is being increased right now. Like what we know, and this is what I used to tell myself when I was pregnant, and you know, is people give birth in war zones and, you know, through traumatic experiences, you know, so it does happen and healthy babies are born first and foremost. But, you know, we are feeling really anxious anyway. And now the world really is anxious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How can we support ourselves? And, you know, does it affect our pregnancies?
Yeah, of course. So just say anxiety generally in pregnancy is relatively common. And I think if you've had a long time in getting into pregnancy, whatever your journey has been or whatever your experience has been, that is naturally going to be heightened. And I think the first thing to think is it's okay to have some anxieties in pregnancy. I think to have the expectation of having no anxiety at all is quite a tall order. You know, I think some anxiety is okay and it's natural, and allow yourself to feel that. But ongoing anxiety, we really want you to be able to manage and to get the support as much as possible, really. For everybody, again, it is different, and some people find reading a book, or, you know, going out for a run, or doing your yoga, you know, all different things that you can do to manage your everyday anxieties. And you were talking about scans earlier, and for a lot of people that is such a milestone. It's just waiting for that next scan, and that's what the focus is. So if that's been moved or potentially taken away, then that almost lengthens the time of when you might get a slight release, or, you know, a bit of an ease up in that once you've had that scan, really. So I think it's really important, first of all, just to cover the basics, you know, trying to eat as well as possible, trying to get some exercise, and do what you enjoy. If you enjoy reading, pick up a good book. If you enjoy listening to music, put on your favourite tunes and dance around the house. You know, do whatever you know that you just really enjoy as a bit of a distraction, really. So that would be the first instance. When you do see your midwife, we would really encourage you to tell your midwife how you are feeling. And I know sometimes some people find that quite difficult. They're worried about being judged, worried about the reaction that they might get. But actually, you know, please do bear in mind that anxiety is common in pregnancy, and it's absolutely nothing to be ashamed about. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be a good parent. It's just about getting the support through a time that is actually really demanding on your emotional well-being. So talking to your midwife, talking to friends and family, you know, to those who you trust, pick up the phone, have a video chat, you know, just talk about how you're feeling as well. And just be kind to yourself, and don't feel like you need that it will all go away, because it will be there. So it's about how you can manage it throughout the pregnancy, and just being kind to yourself, really.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And it feels like the right time, although I do feel I'm awkward about saying this, but, you know, I do run the Hangout, which is a membership community where people are pregnant after infertility and loss. And it's a place where people can talk to each other, talk to people who understand, share ideas, just support each other. I had a support group, an online support group, which I run monthly on Tuesday, which I opened out to non-members as well. I would love to make that a weekly thing at the moment. It's just not possible, unfortunately, due to one thing and another, but where I will do the next one as soon as possible. And if I can, again, open it out to non-members, I will endeavour to do that. But yeah, there are places that you can look for support, which is super. Next, Kate, actually, you talked about kind of the parenting. So for those who are imminently pregnant or imminently about to kind of give birth, a couple of things maybe we could talk about. Firstly, from a COVID point of view, breastfeeding. You know, I've heard some information about kind of whether you should be breastfeeding at this point or not, you know, because it might mean that you pass it on, or whether you should be expressing and then someone else feeding the baby. And also the conversation around, you know, at the birth and when you bring your baby home for the first time, you know, family, lots of us have got parents in their 70s or over, or who may be in a vulnerable group, and we can't have those friends and family around us at the moment. And that, you know, even if I just say that out loud, that is just heartbreaking for people right now. You know, what can we do? Nothing, I fear, is the answer. But let's talk about breastfeeding first, perhaps.
Yeah, so it is tricky at the moment. I mean, the first thing to say about breastfeeding is that, again, there's no evidence that we have at the moment that the virus, if you did test positive or you had symptoms, there's no evidence that the virus does pass through breast milk. So we would always encourage to still be breastfeeding. You know, with all the benefits of breastfeeding, would outweigh any concerns that you may have. So if you can, and if you'd like to breastfeed, absolutely go ahead and do that. So precautions, things like, there is recommendation that if you can get your hands on a face mask, then potentially that might be something that you want to wear whilst you're having that close contact with your baby. If you do sneeze or cough, having that away from your baby, whether you can pass your baby away or just sneeze away from them, and wash your hands afterwards, and wash anything that you might have coughed into, or, you know, make sure that it's thrown away and disposed of if you're into any tissues or anything like that. that. So just be careful of sort of what's happening around your baby, really. But actually, you need to think about the benefits of skin-to-skin contact, of the breastfeeding, and bonding after your baby's born are really, really important considerations. There has been some babies that have tested positive for COVID-19, and at the moment they thankfully are doing great, and they aren't concerned. It doesn't seem to really affect them, and it's manageable. We are talking small numbers, but hopefully there's some reassurance that if that did happen, actually, at the moment, from what we know about, is that the babies don't seem to be affected by that. But it is really important to get that skin to skin and that bonding time. And that goes for saying, even if you're bottle feeding as well, having skin to skin and bonding is just as important, definitely. So with precaution, we would say still go ahead, still have that time with your baby, and just take those precautions, really.
Brilliant, thank you. And one thing on feeding, you know, if you're breastfeeding and you have plenty of milk, you know, it is less of a concern. But if you are bottle feeding, or should I say formula feeding, for any reason, you know, people are starting to worry. You know, I've had these conversations with people about formula running out. It's one of the things that potentially people are panic buying. What do we do in that situation?
Yeah, it is really difficult. I'm not sure I have the best answer, and all, you know, everywhere's different at the moment. The shops are quite a surreal place to be at the moment, and the shelves are empty. The one thing that's really important to say is that please do not water down the formula more than it should be. It still needs to be made up as per instructions. I have heard stories, read stories of parents, and I completely get why you're trying to, you know, need to stretch out the milk and trying to make it last. But actually, the milks are made up in a specific way to make sure that the baby is getting enough. And if it is too watery, they're not going to be getting what they need, and potentially they're going to be losing weight, which they may then need some extra support in, which ultimately could mean extra hospital contact, which is what we sort of really want to avoid at the moment. So it is important to still make up the feeds as per instructions. If you're formula feeding because you maybe have a problem with supply, is that still try to do some breastfeeding and then maybe top up with a formula, just so that you can make sure the baby is getting enough milk. Obviously, supermarkets are looking at this at the moment, and I know there's been people that have reached out to the formula milk companies. There is enough milk, it's just, you know, the supply chain has been disrupted at the moment, really. So I'm hoping things will settle down, and things will, you know, calm down, really.
Yeah, and one of the things, I'm actually going to do a post on it this afternoon, so by the time people are listening to it, it will be live, is asking the community out there on Instagram, because I know that I've got a box of formula because I send it in to nursery with Ren. But at the moment, she's not going to nursery, so I'm not using it. Like, there will be people out there with things that they can get to you. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask. If you're worried, like, by all means, if it's available, go and buy it now. And I know that the juxtaposition of panicking because you're worried about things, you know, selling out, versus not wanting to buy stuff too early because you're scared that you're going to jinx your pregnancy, is just one of the most confusing situations to be in. But I can't say it enough, and I used to say this to myself a lot, you know, put your rational mind kind of on, you know what I mean, turn your rational mind on, should I say. Maybe purchasing things is not going to affect the health of your baby. There is literally no way that it can actually affect the health of your baby. So, you know, I know it's really difficult. You know, if you can perhaps ask someone else to buy it for you, whether it's a parent, a neighbor, a friend, and store it in their house. You know, we've got a WhatsApp group in my village. You know, if I was in that situation, I think that I would probably be sending a message out to everyone on that WhatsApp group and saying, as well as my family, you know, saying, please, if you go, just pick me up one tub, you know, or one of the little bottles of pre, you know, kind of pre-mixed formula. Please, they're a pound each. Please, I will give you the money, but please store it, because if I need it, you know, I need to know that I can get it. So that's a possibility.
Yeah, no, I know it is a tricky situation, definitely. But yeah, again, speak with your midwife. Some places will have local support services as well. So it's always worth, you know, during your pregnancy, you should always be given the opportunity to talk about feeding choices anyway and what you're thinking. So it's a good opportunity just to relay your concerns about that then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got an episode of the podcast with Shell Banks, who's a lactation specialist. And so if anyone is kind of thinking about, you know, at the stage where they're thinking about breastfeeding versus formula feeding, or, you know, struggling to breastfeed, you know, with their newborn, please head over and listen to that, because she just gives the most valuable information. It is fantastic. So moving on to things like, you know, we've kind of touched upon missing midwife appointments. Let's talk about things like antenatal classes and even shopping experiences, you know, things that people aren't able to do now. I know that the bump class, for example, has offered to do some antenatal classes online, which is incredible. So you can head over to their Instagram to find out more about that. I believe that NCT are also making some of their groups available on time. I'm not sure whether that's WhatsApp or FaceTime or how that's working, but certainly get in touch with your coordinator. I know that it's not the same as being in the room with people, but we need to look for alternatives at the moment. And hopefully one day, quite soon, we will be looking back on this time, and whether it's laughing about it, whether it's kind of wide-eyed and thinking, gosh, can you remember when it was like that? You know, it's really heartbreaking to deal with it now. But, you know, when the little one is here, that's going to be your focus. It really is. Can you offer any advice on things like antenatal classes? You know, because people are concerned that they're missing out on vital information that they're going to need.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, again, it is tricky and it is different in every area. I know I keep saying that, but it really is. And people in different positions as to what they can access, really. So absolutely, you know, some organisations are doing online classes. So have a little Google as to what's in your area. Some hospitals and maternity units do sort of virtual or online tours of their units. So if you're wanting to look at the birth centre or a labour ward or the consultant led unit, then it's worth looking at your local maternity unit's website and seeing if they offer that, because I know that some do, so having a look on there as well. But I think, like you're saying, hopefully, you know, there is light at the tunnel. This is not going to go on forever. We are blessed with lots of information on the internet, which I know can be a scary place to be, but also an amazing place to be. So I would strongly suggest to just go straight to evidence-based sites. So obviously NHS Choices is an obvious one to go to. Obviously, I'm going to say Tommy's, because our information is fantastic, but it is reviewed by health professionals and women. So and it is updated regularly. So going straight to sites rather than straight Googling, where all sorts can come up, going to sites that you know are reliable and evidence-based and up-to-date to get your general pregnancy information. And like you're saying, you know, when this is blown over and when you have your baby, there are lots of baby classes, baby groups, and huge communities in local areas. So there will be a chance to develop that social network, which is so important, because having a baby, you just need people around you. It's, you know, it's really hard and it's tough and it's tiring. And it's okay to admit that even if you're just so excited to have a baby, there's also feelings of it being quite daunting and it being really tough. So there will be a chance to develop that social network. But I think, you know, for some people, it might just be a little bit delayed at the moment. But do have a look around at the local services that are on offer. Again, go on your local hospital website, speak to your midwife of any sort of local services that they are aware of as well.
Thank you so much. And I think that's really, really kind of key information about, I would not necessarily have thought of that, going direct to the website rather than Googling. Even if you include the website within your Google search, like, you just don't know what else is going to come up. So I think that's really, really good advice there. Thank you. When you have a newborn, you know, one of the things is you're kind of in all the time anyway, other than going for a walk perhaps. So, you know, in some ways, it's not going to be much different to how it would have been otherwise, other than, which we didn't end up talking about, but, you know, like the fact that our family and friends can't come round at the moment, which is heartbreaking. And essentially, there isn't an answer to that, I guess. But what I would say is, when you have slightly older ones, It can be exhausting. And like you just said, you know, it's okay to be exhausted and for it to be hard, even though you have tried so long to have your little one. I know that I had a lot of guilt about putting Ren into nursery at 7 months. You know, I'd waited 7 years for her, and then I put her into nursery at 7 months. It's only a few hours a week. But do you know what? That being taken away, it's made me realise that I really enjoyed and kind of need that headspace away from her. And it's not because I need to be away from her. It's because I need to do some stuff for me. And for me, that is working. And so I'm finding that quite difficult at the moment. And that's okay to admit. There are a lot of people on Instagram in particular, you know, that's where I am, so that's what I see, who are recommending kind of scheduling of your days. And I do a baby club class every day with Ren. It's on the BBC, so you can go and download those. Other people like Etty Betty are doing things like live sign language classes, like Sing and Sign, which are amazing. Like, people are just being so generous with their time right now, and ingenious as well. So there's a lot going on. So if you're in that situation where you have got your little one and they're slightly older than newborns, so they do need some entertaining, really investigate, kind of, because there's some amazing stuff happening. There's some real positivity coming out of everything that's going on right now. Just going back to, you know, friends and family coming, is there an answer really, other than FaceTiming? Like, it's just shit, isn't it, really? It's devastating.
Yeah, it is. And like you're saying, the loneliness of those, particularly the early few weeks of parenthood, can be really intense. And that support network is so important. You know, it is guidance at the moment, and, you know, people are interpreting it in their own way. But I think we can only give the safest message, which is to really limit that social contact as much as possible. If you did choose to have visitors, then they must be washing their hands and keeping distance from each other within the home. You know, as much as I'm sure they want to have a lovely cuddle with your little one, it's just to kind of really, we would advise to reduce that, to be on the safest side. You know, there's no one checking, but, you know, we can only give the safest message. But yeah, using the technology, being on the phone, WhatsApping, video calling, and again, to, like we've already said, is just try where we can, just to keep it in perspective, in that we know that there will be an end in sight. And like you said, you will look back, and there will be plenty of time for people to enjoy it as a family, and actually try and spin it on its head and use it as quite a useful time just to have that downtime and not have pressure about how the house looks, or, you know, anything that anyone might feel, which you shouldn't do, but people still do. And actually, do you know what, just be in your pajamas, have that skin-to-skin time with your baby, get to grips with feeding. If you need to nap in the middle of the day, you nap in the middle of the day, and actually your whole routine and everything is just completely thrown out the window, and you just need to go with it. And actually, sometimes not really having any visitors can actually help with that a little bit, because it relieves the pressure and it just allows you that time to bond with your baby and have that time, and then making up for it when, you know, hopefully this is all over when that is.
That's it. And one of the, you know, and we just have to look for silver linings, however small or large they are within all of this. One of the potential silver linings for those people who are having babies within a couple, you know, your other half is probably, you know, not always the case, but possibly working from home at the moment. And granted, you know, they have to work, don't get me wrong, it does mean that they're around. So in addition to that paternity leave, you know, hopefully they'll be around for a bit longer. And it just from a company point of view, I know, having Bob in the house at the minute, and he's in this room where I'm recording this now the majority of the time, but that's a really nice thing to come out of it. And it means that he's here for Ren's bath times in the evening, which usually he misses out on all of that. He's been able to do bedtime, you know, a couple of times, which has given me just a bit of a break. So, you know, having both people, if that is your situation, in the house, there are definitely some positives to us being in lockdown and those people who are working from home. There's just one more thing, Kate, if we can touch upon, and this, well, another silver lining, I suppose, is this is a bit of an exclusive for the Finally Pregnant podcast. So I'm very grateful that that's the case. And the launch for what we're going to talk about next was happening this Thursday, but for obvious reasons, it's been cancelled, postponed. But actually, what we're going to talk about, which is an app, is so timely right now, given that we are stuck at home, the majority of us, with sometimes without contact with our midwives. But Tommy's is just about to launch. I don't even know what the name is. So you're going to have to do all of it. But basically, an online app, isn't it? So if you could share.
Yeah, so we're really, really excited. It's been a sort of work in the making, this, but we're calling it a voice skill, whether you want to call it an app or, you know, but it's really about using, I think a lot of people now have these kind of, whether it's an Alexa or Google Home or some sort of device in their home now. And we're just finding that so many people are using them for information, same as you might Google, use the internet actually to be asking Alexa or Google Home for information and support. So we are launching a voice skill where you can ask your general pregnancy questions. So this is not about replacing a midwife. This is not about replacing anything that you've been told by the people involved in your care. But sometimes it's so, you know, it can be 3 o'clock in the morning and you suddenly wake up and think, oh my goodness, was I, you know, can I eat that? Or, you know, was I meant to do that? Or sometimes a question just pops into your head. And there might not necessarily be a midwife that you can call right there and then. We think, oh, it's not quite urgent enough. So you don't want to ring triage or your maternity unit. So, you know, you can ask your smart speaker, and all the information in there is still the same information on our website. So it's evidence-based information. It's all been checked by a team of midwives and pregnancy professionals. It's been tried and tested by parents and women as well. And so we've had really, really good feedback from it. So as it is so sparkly new, we're just finishing off all our information that's going to go on our website, which tells you how to access it. But essentially, you just activate your smart speaker and say, open Tommy's midwife, and then fire away with any questions that you might have. So as I said, they're your general pregnancy advice questions. We're still getting feedback from it, and we would love to hear what you think about it. But we're just really excited because it's sort of like one of the first sort of voice skills apps that's been done by midwives and health professionals, really. And it's been updated with all the coronavirus information as well. So hopefully you'll find that really useful too. So it's just another way of accessing our evidence-based information that's just quick and easy. So do give it a go, and we hope that you really love it.
That's amazing. So you would say, for me, I've got a Google Doc, so I'd say, hey Google, open Tommy's, and then ask a question.
Yeah, Open Tommy's midwife. And then there's like a little bit of chat at the beginning just to say, obviously, we have to just make sure that you're not taking this advice in the place of your health professional. And if you have any really urgent concerns, then you need to be calling a midwife, or really, you know, extreme to be going and calling an ambulance. But it's for your everyday general midwifery questions. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, like, to you and to Tommy's. Like, that's just going to be so useful. Like you say, just in normal kind of circumstances when we haven't got coronavirus, waking up at 3 a.m. and thinking, oh, you know, like, and just having someone to check with and knowing, as we talked about earlier on, that it's a trusted source is just going to be incredibly valuable. And I know that I'm relying more and more on my Google Doc. So as so many people I know are as well. So that's just amazing. Well done. Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Oh, like, hey, I can't explain to you how grateful I am for you to have taken the time to come and chat to me. Tommy's is a fantastic charity that I know so many of our community look to for support, and also in turn support as a charity. One of the things as we come into this weekend in particular that's worth mentioning, because, you know, it is Mother's Day on Sunday, and I know that people listen to this podcast, and I say every time, like, I can't tell you how brave I think you are if you're listening to this podcast prior, you know, before you are actually pregnant. But Mother's Day is a really, really difficult time. And this time last year, I was pregnant with Ren. I wasn't sure, you know, how the pregnancy was going to go. It was healthy up until that point. I guess I was probably 20, 22 weeks pregnant, give or take. I didn't want to celebrate Mother's Day. I wasn't ready. And I remember being at my pregnancy yoga class and people, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, they got cards and flowers and, you know, from their unborn babies. And I just said to Bob, I can't do that, you know, and we're all different. Some people can, some people don't want to. But Tommy's have offered some advice, and I was honoured to be asked to share my advice on that. And people like Elle Feathering the Empty Nest, Zara from Little Norfolk Cottage, and other amazingly strong women who have been through so much have also added advice on the website, which is fantastic. So if this weekend is going to be particularly hard for you because of that, on top of everything else, then do head over to their website for some information. It might be that you don't follow these people, so you can head over and follow them. And there is a lot of support out there at the moment. So thank you so much, Kate, again. And a huge thank you to everyone at Tommy's. You do incredible, incredible work.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. Thank you.
Brilliant. Take care then, Kate. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.